Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, Packers fans. Welcome into the Green 19 podcast from JS Online and PackersNews.com. I'm Cassidy Hill, joined as always by Tom Silverstein and Ryan Wood, here from Highmark Stadium in Orchard Park, New York, where, guys, the Packers have fallen to 3-5. Not too surprising with the given the state of the past few weeks for this Green Bay team. Came in tonight, though, 10-point underdogs. Actually covered the spread, because I think it was 10.5 was the spread, falling 27-17 to the now 6-1 Buffalo Bills. And I guess it kind of gives you the state of the Packers that we're like, hey, they covered the spread. That's at least something. Admittedly, was a little bit more of a competitive game than I thought it might be. So is this one of those games where you, or is this the point of the season where you try to find silver linings if you're the Packers, or are you still sort of in turmoil and trying to find a way to turn it down? Or is this, let me ask the question this way first, Spoon. Is this about how you thought this game would go?
I thought in a best case scenario, this is how the game would go. I thought there was enough. I wanted to see if there were a number of things that they could do against Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo has the number one offense in the NFL, number one defense in the NFL. They're the best team in the NFL, no, hands down. And they have the best, probably the best quarterback in the NFL, arguably, although Patrick Mahomes is right there. So I wanted to see what they could do. And what they did was what I wanted to see, which was run the ball. I wanted to see if they just put the ball in the hands of Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, what could they do? And I think they proved that they can, if they stick with it, they can run the ball against a good defensive team. And if they had done this against Washington, which basically played the same defense, they would have won that game. And if they would have done the same thing against the Giants, I think they would have won that game. So I think they found a formula. I just don't know if they're going to stick with it.
After the game, Aaron Rodgers essentially said that this team still needs to be able to push the ball down the field.
Mm-hmm. So did LaFleur.
Yes.
Much to my, like,
surprise?
No, disgust.
I agree with them. I agree with both of them.
We're going to get to that first. Spoon, you've got the book there. What were Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon's final numbers? Aaron Jones was over 150,
well,
right?
Well, together they ran for 30 times for 208 yards.
That was 197.
98, something like that.
197, 30 for 197.
Yeah.
That's what we've been saying they needed to do. Let the two of them touch the ball 30 times. Mm-hmm. They got almost 200 yards on the ground between the two of them. So I guess the one question is, why is the emphasis still need to be able to push the ball down the field? Shouldn't that be a secondary marker or priority here for this offense? And two, they were able to find some success on the ground, but was it too little too late in this game when they should have been able to push the ball down the field when they were down 17 in the third quarter?
Well, they need to push the ball down the field because they lost. I mean, I don't know what they're searching for the formula for, but it's the win. And this was not a competitive game. This was a 14-0 game out the gate. It was 24-7 at halftime. It was double digits the entire second half. The only reason it was even as close as 27-17 was because of a late touchdown in garbage time when they're down 27-10. At no point in this game was it competitive. Let's be clear about this. There was never a point where you thought, yep, Packers could win this game. it was over as soon as it began, and it never really got all that, from a competitive standpoint, entertaining or close. The reality is, when you only run the ball, and yes, this is the one thing we know this team can do. They can run the ball. We've known that. But when you only run the ball, you're not beating the good teams in this league, because this league is designed for passing offense, to stretch the field, verticality, big plays in the passing game. And when you can't do that, and to be clear, the Packers cannot do that, you're not beating good teams in this league. So the reason why Aaron Rodgers is right, they absolutely have to stretch the field. They have to push the ball downfield. Not only do that, because they tried that early in the season, that's why they've resorted to only running the ball the past couple weeks, or certainly this week, and running the offense through predominantly Aaron Jones last week in Washington, is because they tried to only push the ball down the field, and that didn't work. But there has to be some semblance of balance to complement the run game, because a run game on its own is not going – it limits your ceiling for what you can actually do as a team in this league.
If nothing else, with this formula, if they can find a way to make it work moving forward and they're not facing the best team in the NFL, they put together so far their longest drive of the season tonight. It was just under 9 minutes. I think it was like 8:40-something, 8:30-something. And they put together, I think, a 6 minute something ish drive as well, which is what this defense has needed, is for this offense to be able to stay on the field. So to your earlier point, Spoon, kind of knowing that, I mean, and hearing Ryan's point to what LaFleur and Roger said, can you get by a little bit longer with this formula of just keeping it on the ground like they did tonight, maybe against like Detroit, and then they come home against the Cowboys, which I guess that's farther down the road. Can you kick the can down the road a little bit with this formula?
Well, here's the thing about the formula, so to speak, is that what they needed to do, I don't think anyone thought they were going to win this game, but what they needed to do was prove a few things to themselves. And one of them was that they could run the ball against a really good run defense, against a team that played both of its safeties back almost the entire game, just like Washington did, a lot like the Jets did. Teams are going to continue to probably do that, and they've just not been able – they're banging their heads against the wall when they try to throw against, you know, cover two, because they don't have the kind of receivers that can beat that kind of defense. So the only way to pull a team out of that is to run the ball. And as you saw late in the game, they started to connect. They went a little bit into hurry up, mm-hmm. and Buffalo still had to honor the run, and they did. And they started to pick up some yardage. Now, it wasn't enough to win the game, but that's not the point. The point is they have to find out whether they can win games like this, especially as, you know, it gets colder, especially knowing that they're not going to be able to just sit back and throw the ball. They can't do it. They have to be a play-action team. That's how they're going to be successful in the future. And if you can get – you can bet that the Detroit Lions are now looking at this and saying, okay, we got to stop Aaron Jones next week. Mm-hmm. That's our number one target. So now all of a sudden maybe you start to see more single high coverages, and then you can start to play off of that. But until they can run the ball and use their two best offensive players effectively, then they're not a very good team, and that's what they were through the first – half the season.
They weren't a very good team tonight, though, either. It was never competitive.
They were
against the very best team.
Against the very
team in the country. This wasn't about being great. It was about reshaping who they are. And this is the first time they really looked like they could reshape and find some kind of identity. Be physical. It's the first time I've seen them be really physical on offense.
See, to me, though, that just shows how far off the rails this team is. Because this entire season is win now. Like, we can't, just because they've been bad through the first eight games of the season, doesn't mean that we need to reevaluate what this season is about. They paid their quarterback this offseason a contract that's $50 million a year, that's the richest in NFL history. He's 38 years old. There is no tomorrow. So the fact that they can come into Buffalo, be down 14-0 right out of the gate, 24-7 at halftime, never within double digits in the second half, and say, yeah, they weren't bad tonight. That's not the point. Like, the point is that this team is in critical win-now mode because it's squeezing every ounce, every drop that they can out of Aaron Rodgers for the rest of this whatever window they have with him. And that's they're not in it for moral victories. Okay, it was a good night for them because they were able to reestablish their identity. That's not what the design of this season was going in.
Okay, but relative to what they've done the first seven games, this was the step back in the right direction.
That doesn't reevaluate what this season is.
Okay, but
who cares what this season was?
That's still nine more games to
go. Big picture, that's a big problem.
It's 3-4. You're looking at the season as a whole, and I'm looking at it as they're 3-4, and they got to do something.
Right.
They got to do something to turn their season around.
I'm looking at a season that's slipping away, and they are so far off track where they're supposed to be.
Okay, but, I mean, I guess it depends on what angle you're looking at it from, because it's like, okay, let's say they are still all in, and they're paying their quarterback. I mean, we do know they're paying their quarterback $50 million. They want to get to it this season. To get there this season, they got to make the playoffs. To make the playoffs, they've got to start winning the games. To start winning some games, they've got to find a formula like they did tonight. So relative
wasn't
to
close
what they
to enough.
It was a heck of a lot better than
they weren't
been.
Blown out. Congrats on the moral victory.
It's not a moral victory.
That's exactly the definition of
I'm
a moral victory. They weren't blown out.
You said that this
not a bad
been,
night.
You said this has been off the rails. I feel like this was a step back to getting on the right track.
I think they're so far off the rails that a baby step doesn't move the needle.
I don't know. I guess we'll see if they have another performance against the Lions like they did against the Commanders, then sure. But if they can take this and push it even farther forward, then it was a step in the right direction.
You guys are awfully optimistic.
I don't know.
I didn't
if
say
I'm
optimistic. I'm being
I'm
analytical.
Saying, yeah, relative
instead
to
of
the,
being, you know. I'm just analyzing what it would take for them to do something this year. And when you're 3-4, you try to figure out who you're going to be, how you're going to turn it around. And this was the first time we've been talking about all year that they needed to be a run-centric team. And they finally showed they could do it. Did they win? No. You know, I didn't expect them to win this game. They're 3-4. They're not a very good team right now. But if they're going to be competitive, this was the first start. This is the first step in being a competitive team.
So they were competitive by not being competitive tonight because they weren't competitive. At no point was this game competitive.
You're not listening to what I'm saying. And so just let it go.
Can y'all tell it's late here in Buffalo and that we are very, very tired? I would say it was a little more competitive, again, relative to what they've been doing. Again, if that's enough, I guess that's, you know, still up for debate, but relative to what they've been doing.
I just don't think that they can beat good teams this way, which is what – it's a Super Bowl or bust season, and they can't beat the best teams in the NFL, which is what you need to do when it's Super Bowl or bust. Mm-hmm. So I don't see how this is the long-term for. If they don't get more out of their passing game, I don't see how they beat the best in the NFL, which is what they were designed
to
do.
Who are they going to get out of their passing game? Who's going to all of a sudden emerge? All year you've been talking about they need to get the ball to Aaron Jones.
And
that's what they
enough.
Did. And so how is that? And now all of a sudden you want to get the ball to Dobbs and Trey and those guys?
That's why I think this season's in trouble. I don't see who they're going to get anything out of their passing game unless they make a trade, which is what we've been talking about for weeks. And short of that, I just running the ball in this league It's not enough to beat the best teams.
It's a start. It's a good start. It's what the best teams usually do is run the ball, and that's the only way they're going to be able to get these guys open, mm-hmm. is if their basis is that they run the ball and they're a physical team and they somehow get their defense to be as physical as their run game was mm-hmm. today.
Speaking of pushing it downfield and getting the passing game open, less the only time they really pushed it downfield tonight or attempted to was the flea flicker to Romeo Doubs. Did you put that on Rodgers or Doubs that it was an incompletion? Or a little – I mean, he was double covered.
Good play by the defense?
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't – if it was Christian Watson running that route, it might have been different. But yeah, he's double covered. I don't think there was much of a chance to complete it.
Yeah. Speaking of Christian Watson, we don't really know an update on him yet. I did think it was interesting, and y'all have been in the NFL longer than me, so tell me if this is normal. Usually when a player leaves with an injury, especially with a concussion, they say he's being evaluated for a concussion. There was no evaluation with Christian Watson. He was immediately, he has a concussion. They brought the board out for him originally and then took the board off. He was able to get up, walk off on his own. But he did not seem mobile to me at first. The fact they brought out the board, the fact that Watkins and several other offensive players immediately took a knee made me think he was originally out cold. So, I mean, is this just kind of shut it down at this point for Christian Watson?
I think they were worried about a neck injury. That's right. Usually why they're bringing the – yeah. And then he must have, you know, had – feeling everywhere and felt like he could get up. But yeah, that's bad that he had a concussion. I've said this 10 times this year that when a rookie gets injured and he continues to get injured and his rookie year is pretty much going to go down the toilet because once you're in, you know, behind that eight ball, you just never seem to catch up. And I think that's where he is. I don't think they're going to be able to expect much from him this year.
Yeah, you hate it for him. He just comes back from the hamstring and then.
Yeah, he had a nice little run there, too.
Yeah, he did.
Know?
That
yeah.
one play, he flashed.
Yeah.
But after he left, that left them with only four receivers for the remainder of this game. Sammy Watkins, Amari Rodgers, Romeo Doubs, Samori Toure. Toure was the touchdown you mentioned in garbage time. Let's spend like 30 seconds on him. He had two plays back-to-back that were sort of comeback plays on the scramble. One of them was eventually ruled an incompletion after they looked at it. But he got almost back to it, and then the next one was the touchdown. That's something Rodgers stressed during training camp and a little bit into the season, like wanting guys to get to used to him so that when he scrambled, they could read him. Do you see enough there to keep him active through the next few games? Because this is only the second game he's played.
Better than pretty much anybody else they have other than Doubs. Yeah, I think the guy's an athlete, and I think he's pretty unfazed by playing. I think you can see that it's not too big for him. But I just, you know, you got to take a little bit of it with a grain of salt. You know, he made a nice play on that. To me, that play was indicative of why it was so important that they ran the ball, because they rolled Rodgers out, made it look like it was kind of a run play, sort of kept the rush at bay. He did have to scramble, but it allowed Toure time to get open, and that's the only way they're going to do this. You notice that there weren't many times where they were able to just drop back and hit somebody wide open. Even the Doubs was just kind of a, you know, he threw it up there and go get it.
Mm-hmm. It was a good play by Doubs too.
It was a great play. Great play of tracking it. But they just can't sit back and throw it like a throwing team. They're going to have to be a play action team.
Ryan, you wrote on Allen and Rodgers, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, we always talked about Allen and his legs, but it wasn't even necessarily his legs downfield. It was his legs out of the pocket tonight that really kept them alive. And our colleague Pete Doherty said on the Facebook Live, you know, you see Allen sort of getting out of the pocket, scrambling around, giving his receivers time to get open. That's what made Aaron Rodgers special for so long. Is that just kind of not a part of this Packers offense identity anymore?
Well, it hasn't been, but it needs to be. Because he got paid $50 million a year this offseason to fix a lot of the ills around him. And so far this season, Aaron Rodgers has spent a lot of time pointing to the problems. And there's a lot. I mean, it's not like there's not a lot of problems around him. There are. But he spent a lot of time pointing to the problems around him when he's the $50 million a year quarterback that's paid to fix a lot of that. And this is the first time I can really remember where the quarterback that played like Aaron Rodgers was not Aaron Rodgers. It was Josh Allen to a real wide gap. It's not like Aaron Rodgers is always the best quarterback on the field every game his entire career, but I can't remember it ever being so wide as it was tonight, where Josh Allen was the guy that played like Aaron Rodgers used to, which is extended plays. You know, after the game, Matt LaFleur said no quarterback can play all that well throwing from his back, which is true, but a great quarterback's supposed to make any offensive line look better. And that's something that Aaron Rodgers has done throughout his career. He doesn't have the mobility to do that anymore. Josh Allen does. And if there's going to be a resurrection to this season, it has to start with the highest paid quarterback in NFL history. It has to start there. I don't know if it will. I don't know if he's got the weapons for it to happen. I'm not calling for this team to be a passing-only team. As I said, it didn't work early in the season when they tried to do that. But they better get more than just a couple plays a game in the passing game, or they're not going anywhere. It's got to start with Aaron Rodgers.
Let's flip to the other side of the ball. Rasul Douglas was talking in the locker room tonight and said what everyone has kind of realized. He said, we just can't play a full game. He said, we play a good half, and tonight it was the second half. And he said, but we can't play a full game, and it's just unacceptable. He said, this is not who we should be. And he's right. So, I mean, tonight, though, what do you think was the crux of the issue tonight in the first half with the defense? Spoon?
I think they wasted a lot of time with this bravado thing with Stephon Diggs. I think that was like took them out of their game. I think they wasted all this energy trying to be all tough and you know, intimidating. And if you want to be tough and intimidating, tackle a guy. You know, tackle a guy who's running up the middle. Be a safety who can come up and tackle a guy in the open field. You know, hit somebody before the whistle blows, you know. And to me, you know, the offense was the physical unit and the defense just sort of, you know, played, tried to act like they were physical, and all they were really doing was, you know, not really functioning all that great.
The only guy who really was physical was Rasul Douglas.
Yeah, but even he got it involved in that, and then he got scorched by Diggs on that touchdown.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, they were wasting so much energy doing all of that crap instead of doing their jobs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then it boiled over to Quay Walker, who, you know, shouldn't be involved in any of that kind of stuff. I mean, Jair Alexander can get away with talking crap and all that stuff, but it seemed to me like they were so into that it, you know, brought guys into it that probably don't need to be in that place. Mm-hmm. And to me, if you're going to be, you know, trash talking like that, you better back it up. And they didn't really back it up.
On Quay Walker, just, you know, couple notes. It was not a Bills coach, which was the original thought. It was a practice squad tight end. And he was tackling one of his college teammates, James Cook, out of bounds. said that he felt hands on his back, which if you watch, it seemed like the player was just kind of keeping Walker from, you know, rolling even further into the bench, almost like a protective thing.
Yeah, I thought he was helping him up.
Right. But Quay said, I just felt the hands, and I turned around and essentially just reacted the exact opposite of how I should have. He was pretty emotional about it in the locker room afterwards, too. I mean, he was crying, wiping away tears. And then at one point, I think he had spoken to us for just under 4 minutes, and he was asked, like, you know, you're clearly emotional. Like, what are you sort of thinking? And that's when he kind of was just like, I got to go. And he put his hood up and he walked out. So didn't even finish. Very unlike him from what we've seen of him so far, when he's a pretty timid, quiet, soft-spoken guy. But he said, you know, just in the heat of the game, I let my emotions get the best of me. To your point, you know, it was boiling over to him when it normally wouldn't have. Back to Jair and Stephon Diggs. Jair Alexander campaigns every week to be on the team's best receiver. He was put the majority of the time tonight on Davis, Gabe Davis. He was on Davis for 14 of his 23 routes. Didn't give up a reception to him. Got an interception when he was one of the targets. It was the touchdown-saving interception down in, within the five-yard line. He was on Diggs a couple of times, too, but they put Rasul on Diggs more, it felt like, and then kept Jair on Davis. I mean, Ryan, was that the right move?
No, in fact, I don't know so much about wasting energy, because football is an emotional game, and the Quay Walker play notwithstanding, as Matt LaFleur said after the game, zero tolerance for that. I think they wasted Jair Alexander. I don't know if Terry McLaurin spooked Joe Barry into regressing into old habits or what, but Stephon Diggs had two big plays in this game, the 26-yard touchdown against Rasul Douglas and the 53-yarder with a minute left in the first half against Darnell Savage and Eric Stokes. All three of those guys have something in common. They're not Jair Alexander. Mm-hmm. You can't let the best receiver on the other team continue to hurt you every single week, big play after big play, without your top cornerback on him. And it looked a lot like early in the season coverage plans for the Packers, where they put Jair Alexander on one side of the field, just matched him up and didn't shadow the best receiver. And that's a waste of the highest paid cornerback in NFL history.
Because it's easy to say, too, like when you look at Diggs, you know, I think he had, what, 108 yards on 6 receptions, 8 targets, and be like, and you just assume, oh, Jair had a bad night. Jair had a pretty good night for his own self, but it was just where he was being used. So, I mean, Spoon, is this reverting to old habits?
Well,
or?
First of all, it's really hard to single covers Stephon Diggs because of the way the Bills move him around. It's not that much different than Justin Jefferson. And the issue is that if you're going to single him, then you're going to single everybody else. And I don't think that was a good plan, especially with some of their backs that can catch. And, you know, for the most part, At first I was like, oh, they're going to play soft zone. But they did a pretty good job of taking Davis out of the game and Knox. You know, Knox had been hurting people quite a bit.
He only had, what, one reception?
2 catches for 10 yards. So if you'd said, you know, you're going to hold Diggs to 6 catches for 108 yards and a touchdown, you'd feel okay about that, especially if you're going to pick Allen off twice and only allow him 218 yards passing. So
he's been averaging 330.
Yeah, I mean, their offense was averaging 440. So I don't know. I think there's times you got to put Alexander on the best receiver, and then there's times you have to sit back. I wondered whether they were going to put him maybe just on Diggs and on third downs. And maybe they could have done that a little bit more. But I don't know if they could have played man against these guys. I think they're too good.
At one point, Eric Stokes was brought off the field and Keyshawn Nixon went in. You spoke to Eric Stokes in the locker room afterwards. What did you find out?
Yeah, well, basically, I asked him, why were you taken off? And he said, well, you'll have to talk to LaFleur about that. And then I said, well, what did you do? You know, was there something you did? He said, I don't know. He said, they just said, Stokes, you're out of here. You're out. And he said he went to the sideline and had a conversation with Rich Bisaccia to calm him down. I think it might have been, if you remember, the last play of the first quarter was when Diggs fumbled. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, there were just all kinds of, you know, guys jumping in the pile, and there were people pushing and shoving. And I don't know if Stokes lost his head somewhere during there, or LaFleur thought he lost his head. But that's the only thing I can think of. Stokes just said, I don't know why. I don't know. And LaFleur didn't really say why he did either. But there had to be a reason why he took him off for that. And then it was a pretty fatal decision, because on the very next play, Rasul Douglas got scorched by Stephon Diggs in man coverage. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really hard to cover Stephon Diggs in man coverage. Mm-hmm. So, and then, you know, at least if Stokes had been there, they might have had a chance.
Because he had a deep shot on him later in the game too, right? In the third that he broke up?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
He was playing like that. Sticky man, and then he broke up a deep pass. Rasul's more of a zone.
Right sideline, right?
Yeah. Rasul is more of a zone corner, mm-hmm. whereas Jair and Stokes are man. Like you said, fatal decision there. We've seen past couple of weeks now running backs be able to just kind of gash this rush defense. What were Singletary's final numbers tonight?
14 carries, 67 yards.
So that's averaging
4.8.
Yeah, less than 5.
And then Cook was 5 carries for 35 yards, and then Isaiah McKenzie had 2 for 2.
Yeah. So, is that another week, another bad performance, or do you feel like it's a step in the right direction?
No, not a step in the right direction. I mean, they gave up 153 yards rushing, 5.7 average. Now, Allen accounted for 49 of that mm-hmm. on 6 carries. He always does. I mean, that's what he does. He's so good on the run. So if you took his numbers away, they gave up 104 yards on 21 carries. That's not too bad. But they got to play better run defense. They really do. I mean, well, and then once they lost Walker and mm-hmm. Devondre Campbell, then it was game over once they lost those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think at one point, Ryan, they had Eric Wilson, Isaiah McDuffie, Kobe Jones, all on the field together.
And then they had Rudy Ford at another point.
And Rudy Ford when they were in dime, yeah, for exactly right. And so, I mean, you said at the beginning of this season, what worries me in the front seven is that depth, like on the edge, linebacker, secondary, safety depth. So as much as we've talked about a receiver needing to be picked up by a Tuesday trade deadline, I mean, do they maybe go after, like, a linebacker?
No, I think it's still receiver. Honestly, I don't really expect them to make a deal at this point, and I'd be a little surprised they did, but even on the offensive side. But, no, I think, you know, their defense had some promising signs tonight. Not that I'm Mr. Optimism here, but, you know, they held the Bills to 3 points in the second half. The problem with that is it was 24-7 at halftime, and the Bills looked like they were just sloppy and disinterested and kind of just got lazy in the second
Josh
half.
Josh Allen started playing with his food there towards the end.
But, you know, I mean, look at Packers' defense throughout the season. 3 points in the second half is an improvement. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Packers' offense was able to string together some long drives to help that. But, no, I think that they're going to go with what they got on defense.
Guys, is this a playoff team right now?
No, not at 3-5. Not unless something changes. They've got to you know, they got to play better on offense. I think that's number one. And until they figure out what they're going to be and who they're going to be and whether they can actually compete, then no, I don't think they're a playoff team right now. Right. I think they get a chance. They got a chance.
Ryan?
Well, they got a chance. I don't think the schedule gets any easier. This has not been an easy schedule, and it's been harder than you could have.
Bad year to draw the NFC East,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's been harder than what you could have envisioned back in the spring, right? Because the Giants and the Jets are winning teams, and shoot, even Washington's 4-4. I mean, I'm not saying that Washington's a playoff team either, but they're not Drek. So the schedule doesn't get easier with, you know, next week's a must win, clearly. Can't lose five straight. You can't go 3-6. Detroit's a house of horrors for better Packers teams than this. That's not going to be an easy game. Dallas, you've got the Titans. You got Miami on Christmas
Titans
Day.
Titans on a short week,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly. You got Miami on a hot Christmas Day in Miami. You've got the Rams, defending Super Bowl champions.
Philadelphia Eagles, the only undefeated team in the league.
On the road in Sunday Night Football. It doesn't get any easier, so I've made my feelings known on what I think they need to do to actually turn it around. But if they're playing like this, it's not going to be enough.
Final question. I know you said you probably don't think they do at this point, but just gut feeling, did they go after a receiver before Tuesday?
They need to. I think we're about to learn how Brian Gutekunst feels about this team, because there's no question they need to. They can't just run the ball. They got to get some balance in this offense. So, and I don't think they have balance right now either with what they got. So, yeah, I mean, they absolutely need to get a receiver. I don't know if they will.
Spoon, do you think so?
I think there's a chance. I don't think it's going to be someone who's going to turn them around. I don't think it's going to be like that. I think they need a veteran if they can get one. But I'm starting to think, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to happen. It could be one of the guys from New England. It could be someone from the Jets. But it's. I just don't see it being an impact player.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, Panthers are unloading people. I know people were looking at DJ Moore.
I don't think they're trading him. I don't think he's on the block. I think that he's a building block for them in the future.
He killed me in fantasy football today on Mr. Sure Ryan did. Wood's team here. He demolished me. Guys, we've got a long trip home. Matt LaFleur is going to meet with us on Monday at 3:00. If you haven't listened to this by then, you can catch up on that LaFleur footage after you listen to this podcast. And then get ready for one more road trip before two games at home to a 1-6 Detroit Lions team. But as you said, never an easy place for the Packers to play. And that's a team that can put points on the board.
Yeah, they're a good offensive team.
Right.
They and can the can't Packers stop anybody, team? But they can definitely put points on the board.
Well, the Packers offense will just stop themselves. They don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Reminds me a little bit of a 2015 trip to Detroit when Packers started really hot in 15 and then were really stalled and stuck in the mud, and they needed a win in Detroit, and they were not looking good until Aaron Rodgers uncorked a 60-yard Hail Mary on an untimed down to Richard Rodgers, and really was a huge win late in the season that kind of got them to a point where, you know, they had a decent finish, lost in the divisional round at Arizona. It's reminiscent of that. I mean, it's a huge game. It's a must-win game. If they have any shot, they're dead in the water if they lose in Detroit. So they've got to win this game, and it's a house of horrors, Ford Field. We'll see what they do.
If they lose in Detroit next week, I'm starting to make February plans and January plans, maybe, for that matter. Just kidding. Guys, have a safe trip home. How close were you on your score predictions?
I had an 11-point game, so it was a 10-point game. I can't remember what my score was, but it was pretty close to what it was.
Yeah, you were the close.
I think it was 31-20.
I had 31-13, and not for garbage time touchdown. I was pretty close.
I had 42-17. I was giving the Bills a lot more credit than maybe I should have. Or again, I feel like if they had needed to score another touchdown at the end, they would have been able to. Like we said, Josh Allen was kind of just like, eh, we'll just kick it around, see what happens. Yeah, was right about the 17, but not on the score differential. As we said, have a safe trip home. We will be back in Green Bay Monday to bring you coverage from Matt LaFleur's press conference. And make sure to stay tuned to PackersNews.com for our full wrap-up of the Packers' loss to the Bills and getting ready to head to Detroit. Guys, thank you as always. This has been the Green 19 podcast from JSL9 to PackersNews.com. Green 19! Green 19!
Green 19! Green 19! Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.